Welcome to another episode of Debt Review with Dummies. And by dummies, we refer to your hosts. I am Corey, the dummiest dummy.
And I'm Zach. I'm so dumb that I thought Capital Gains was a new TV show about Pretoria.
Zach, what is Debt Review with Dummies?
Corey, this podcast is all about debt review. We love to talk to people who work in the industry or people who are going through the process. Our objective here is really to help people gain an understanding of the debt review process. Draw back the curtain, show people what's behind the scenes, so they have a full understanding of what they're getting themselves into, and they can learn how wonderful this debt review process is. It really is amazing. At the moment, I recently heard that 120 billion rand has moved through debt review since 2007. I mean, that is a large amount of money. 120 billion. That's 1,000 million. Yeah, amazing.
Wow, that is a lot of money. Yeah, that's actually unfathomable to think about it. But yeah, it's crazy. So it shows you that debt review actually is a good way for the banks to get some money back, right?
Some money. That sounds like a very big number. That sounds like Elon Musk's good afternoon at work. You know, this is some juicy money. Moving from consumers who are trying to settle up their debt back to credit providers who, of course, take the risk of lending the money. So it's great to see how successful it has been as a collection method since its inception.
And who are we talking to today, Zach?
Well, you might know this guy. You might have bumped into him in the corridors at work once or twice. His name is CJ, and he works at a company called One. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, One is obviously very big commercial underwriters, and when you speak to CJ, he'll tell you about how great One is. It's a really, really big company. I think it's about 500 people nationwide. We've got people all over South Africa. We've got offices all over South Africa. Obviously, our little department looks after the credit life in the debt review industry. But CJ's been in the industry he's been in the insurance industry for, I think, about 30 years plus. He's been with One for quite a while, I think since 2012, I think they rolled it out in One. Before that, they were obviously with Hollard and stuff like that. But yeah, CJ was on the podcast previously, so we welcome CJ back to the podcast. It's always lucky to speak to him. He's a deep guy. He's a very deep guy. And if you ever get a chance to speak to CJ, you know, speak to him, if you start listening to the man, you're going to get inspired very, very quickly, because he's a deep thinker, and he's philosophical.
He is very philosophical, and good for a laugh. Okay, well, let's get him in here.
Oh, man, we're so lucky to have CJ back on the podcast. CJ, thank you very much for joining us today. Yeah, again, for those who don't know you, just a little bit of background of who is CJ, please.
Well, I'm a professional dancer by trade. No, just kidding, guys. Well, I head up the Credit Life division at One. Been in the insurance industry probably since around 1992, I think, for my sins. Father of four, avid biker, guitarist, and just all around comedian, you know. So don't trust anything I say, except on the podcast, obviously.
Is that a disclaimer? You know, like, should we put that? We'll put it in the description. Eh? But it's nice to have you, CJ. Thank you very much. And we know that you're a repeat offender. In the best possible way, in that you're back here on the podcast again. So nice to have you with us. But we're going to talk about debt review today. You've got a unique insight into debt review because you're in one of those ancillary services that really looks after the customer, the consumer that's in debt review. And of course, that's a large focus of debt review, is making sure the customer, consumer, goes through the journey in the best possible way, has the best possible experience, because that's the real end game of this process. You know, sure, getting credit providers their money back is important. We just said, what was the figure, Corey? 120 billion rand has moved through debt review from consumers to credit providers over the years. It's a very big number. What are you thinking about the industry at the moment? What do you see? I mean, we've come pretty far. How are we doing?
Well, yeah, Zach, look, thank you for having me here. I think sometimes, you know, it is important that us as an industry have open and honest conversations. We have, you know, effective dialogue. I think there's a lot of people that have been in the industry for a long time since the beginning. So, you know, I think we understand that with most things, when you are writing the book and you're breaking new ground, you don't always have the answers. There are times when it's pretty tough. I think some of the people that were involved in the industry from the start, I don't know how many of them are actually left over, but they were the original custodians of the industry. And, you know, I think to map out processes within the credit landscape that, you know, allow this thing to happen was probably pretty challenging in the beginning, to try and understand and align, you know, the act and the interests of credit providers and the interests of consumers. And then, you know, obviously the ancillary providers like ourselves, like the insurance providers, system providers, PDAs, getting that aligned must have been a huge challenge. I think we, you know, there were a few mistakes made in the beginning, which is understandable. And I think probably for me, and this is just my personal opinion, I think the most noticeable one was not really understanding the type of person that you're going to look for to fulfill this statutory function, you know. And I can remember in the early days, you know, you had people that left their job at Telkom to become debt counselors, and they didn't quite know what they were in for. Needless to say, neither did the customers at that stage. I think the industry then kind of settled a little bit. I do think that sort of post-COVID there was a huge shift in, I think, the sort of mental psyche around consumers and specifically debt counselors. I think the need for, you know, for commercial value for a lot of debt counseling firms probably became their core focus. Which I can understand. I mean, people want to extract commercial value in any business. But I think the state of the industry at the moment, and once again, it's my opinion, is it's not in a good state. I think, you know, we've lost so much traction within the consumer space. And it's based on various things. You know, it can be, you know, substandard debt counseling. It could be, you know, maybe dodgy debt counseling practices. It could be a lot of scams that have entered into the market. And I think effectively what has happened is it's lost a lot of its shine with consumers, who ultimately are the beneficiaries of this structure, you know. And so I think what's happened with the debt review industry at the moment is there's not enough growth coming from the outside. So we are busy cannibalizing ourselves from the inside, you know, where it's a constant shift of consumers and a sort of mergers and amalgamations of firms and, you know, smaller firms falling by the wayside, which is not good for the industry. So I think as a collective, the current custodians, of which I'd like to think of myself as one of them, we have a responsibility, you know, to the industry, and we have a responsibility to consumers to get our industry back on track, where the sentiment around our industry is very, very positive. And I think I've said this once before at a DACASA meeting, you know, given the current financial state of our economy, clients should be lining up two rows deep at a debt counselor's office for solutions, which sadly isn't happening. And once again, that's just a testament of where we are as an industry.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe, Corey, you want to weigh in on this. While that is happening, so there's definitely that pressure. And often when that pressure happens, people within the industry, like you said, the custodians, they start to look for solutions, long-term solutions. That's something I'm feeling at the moment. What about you, Corey?
No, I agree. I can also feel that. I think when you speak to people, and especially dead counselors, like we did at the Dukasa meeting about 3 weeks ago, you know, people are also, and you speak to a lot of guys in Cape Town, they're also making lists of the bad DCs and stuff like that. So, and I think the NCR also, they voiced it when we had our roadshow in Bloemfontein. They said, you know, we must keep on telling what happens because they build up a list of people that's doing the wrong thing. So I definitely feel there is a bit of a shift and we're all tired of it. We want to build this industry. And there's quite a few of us that want to do it. And I think that's what brings us to the next topic, which is obviously this getting out of debt review. And I think there's a lot of that happening because of, you know, what happened in the past. But yeah, we obviously want to stop that as well. I don't know how you feel about the whole thing about getting out of debt review. Adverts you seeing actually.
I will just say for the listener, so what happens is often people are in debt review or have been in debt review. It's a legacy thing. They were once upon a time, but there's still something on the credit bureau that's showing there. And increasingly we're seeing adverts for people, some of them genuine and unfortunately some of them scams, of offers of help to try sort that out. You've got to be very careful that you deal with the right person. And that's the thing we're really struggling with, is trying to get people to deal with the right people and not like end up giving someone money and they just run away. It's very challenging as for us as an industry. But CJ, is this a self-made problem that we've got a million plus people who are sitting with some sort of desire to get that flag removed?
Well, I think the clearance certificate should be part of the entire journey. I think it is the ultimate sort of goal and the reason why you went under debt review in the first place. I think sadly, and we see that because we sometimes have to field those calls, that once it gets to clearance certificate time, the debt counselor is non-existent and pretty much no response from the office, you know. So, you know, it's all based on behavior, you know, and yeah, I think the fact that the debt review industry is in the state that it is has sort of lent itself to creating an opportunity for scammers, you know. I mean, if debt review was working the way it was supposed to be working, we wouldn't have this debt removal scam out there, you know. I think the problem is that clients don't always understand the journey, the customer journey, which is very important. And I think, and please, and by saying this, I'm not having a go at the big guys that have got these massive call centers, because I understand, you know, that it's capacity and they can do it. But I think sometimes it's a very overwhelming thing emotionally for a consumer to firstly admit that they are in trouble. There's an embarrassment factor there and a failure factor, you know, mentally. And I think if we just, you know, take the time to take the client through the journey and explain in detail what each step represents, that I think would also eliminate a lot of the drop-off where clients fall off the process or out of the process sort of midstream after 4 or 5 months, because that's when confusion sets in. So from my side, I mean, from an insurance point of view, the more thorough you are with a consumer in terms of the financial product that he's selecting and the purpose of the product and the benefits and how the products work, the longer that consumer is committed to that product, you know. And I think that's a similar thing that should be happening in debt review at the moment.
From a marketing perspective, it's one of those things you just mentioned. If you want to overcome this fear of failure, like admitting failure, then when you pitch it, you pitch it as, don't you want to game the system? Don't you want to like outsmart the credit providers? Don't you want to cut payments? And unfortunately, it is very motivating. And unfortunately, what happens when you widen the net like that, you're scooping up people that shouldn't be in the process one way or another.
100%.
Then trust is very important, I think, when it comes to a debt counselor. You must be able to trust your debt counselor. But I think there's quite a lot of conflict in the industry that, you know, I think it's coming to light, to be honest. I think it's coming to light the people that you can't trust and the people you can trust. And I think we're all working towards that. I don't know how you feel about that, CJ.
Well, I think, Corey, trust is the foundation of any relationship, you know, whether it's friendship, whether it's business, you know, whether it's marriage. Trust is a vital aspect of any interaction, you know. Corey, it's a very tough one. I think I've always been pretty vocal around the conflict of interest, you know, where you have, you know, debt counselors involved in insurance companies and in PDAs and in systems, which, I mean, I have no problem with that. But it can create, you know, conflict is always a problem. And I think it's something that FSCA tries to regulate quite aggressively, because at the end of the day, if you're not conflicted, you ultimately will provide the consumer with the best product. You know, your judgment's not clouded because you might have a vested interest somewhere else. And I'm not saying that those products are substandard, but I just think it is important to understand that there are many ways to manage trust. I mean, somebody is either trustworthy or they're not. And it's, you know, it's like I say, it's not laws that stop people from committing crimes. It's really who they are in their heart that stops them from committing crimes. I mean, it's just there to manage the situation and to provide perhaps, you know, some type of punishment for being a naughty boy.
CJ, I think you did mention it previously, but I'm not sure how far you are. You mentioned that you are working on something, and I'm quite excited to hear it because I think it's important for people to hear it. And I definitely want to learn from it. You mentioned something about you working on the psychology of money. I don't know if you want to kind of mention something, that how far you are with it, but I'm really looking forward to something like that.
Well, Corey, look, so it's something that's been dear to my heart for a long time. And I suppose as you kind of mature in life and 60 is around the corner and you've made a lot of mistakes in your life, I think what you try to do is you understand things better. And obviously being, you know, working in the financial services sector for a very long time, I've seen many different types of relationships that people have with money. And that's effectively the psychology of money, is the reason why we do what we do. So yeah, it's coming along fine. There's a lot of material that I've kind of put together already. And it basically, in a nutshell, it just addresses the, you know, the relationship that people have with money, because, you know, money just amplifies who you are. So, you know, if you were a not so nice person with no money, you tend to be an even bigger not so nice person once you have money. And once again, it's the unhealthy relationship that people have with money. I think sometimes a lot of the motivation around wanting to be wealthy, and I don't have a problem with it, it's all good. But is to sometimes perhaps hide some of the insecurities that they have. You know, we know the saying, keeping up with the Joneses. And I think effectively, once I finish this, which I don't know how long it'll take, you know, it's just about trying to create a different perception around money for people. You know, I mean, we can teach them how to budget. That's great. But if he has an unhealthy relationship with money because, you know, he feels he needs that GTI, which he can't really afford, but it's such a massive driving factor. It's an unhealthy relationship. And I think that's what we need to start looking at. But yeah, it's going to take a bit of time.
We look forward to it when it comes to fruition there. Come and tell us all about us when you get talking about things coming to fruition. I believe that there's a new benefit coming to fruition, or has come to fruition at one, since you have unique insights there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about something new that's happened with this product that affects people who in debt review?
Yeah, Zach, thanks. So we launched our maternity benefit maybe about two months ago. We just had a look at events, because I think it's invariably always events that impact on consumer finance and on families, you know, whether it's you know, illness, or, you know, whether it's divorce, or whether it's, you know, pregnancy, expecting another child. So we kind of drilled down a little bit on the maternity benefit. I looked at the Employment Act and what the Employment Act kind of stipulates around maternity leave. As such, chatted to a few companies to say, well, what is your maternity benefit policy look like? You know, is it 50% of salary, you know, for a 3-month period? You know, what is the period that they are allowed to be on maternity leave? And we just kind of looked at all those factors and decided, well, we're going to launch a 3-month maternity benefit, which effectively pays the debt review installment on the accounts insured for up to 3 months. What we also didn't do there is we didn't take into account whether, you know, the company's maternity benefit is going to cover the salary for 3 months anyway. So we don't account for that. So, you know, if a policyholder goes on maternity leave and they do have a full salary for 3 months from their company, we will still anyway pay our maternity benefit, which once again could accelerate their debt review process to try and get out of it sooner, because they got some extra money there to just sort out some stuff. I think it's a good benefit. I think sometimes, you know, when a mother is with child, I mean, we do understand there's a huge cost factor involved in you know, bringing children into this world. And yeah, we just try to understand that, you know, what does that pressure look like on the family? And like I said, I think in an earlier interview that I had, you know, the impact, you know, once the mom starts becoming anxious and the dad's getting rattled, what is the impact on the family, and what is the impact on that child once it's born? You know, has that anxiety transferred to them? So we're just trying to help the families, man.
But CJ, I think the maternity benefit is a great benefit, but it's not just that. I think it's in terms of one, what makes me the proudest is that we pay the claims. You know, we've paid claims in the last 2 years, and the amount of money that, like you always say, goes back into the consumer's pocket. That for me is the best thing ever. It's the greatest feeling that we can actually give back to the consumer that way.
Yeah, Corey, I think that's your job as an insurer, you know. I think you are there when clients need you the most. And I mean, look, we've just one of our debt counseling partners, and we like to call them partners because we partner our debt counselors. I think for us, the firms that we deal with, we're very culturally aligned with, where, you know, we the family unit is very important. I think doing the right thing is very important. And yeah, I mean, one of our partners, I think in the last, we've probably paid nearly 10 million rands worth of claims just through one of our DCs, you know. And yeah, it does. It helps those families. It helps those people, you know. It's I know sometimes which I don't always understand is the credit providers get very upset when you replace their insurance policies, but at the end of the day, their interests are noted on those policies, you know, so there is really no loss for them. There's nothing better than settling a, you know, 3 or 4 accounts and the you know, when at a tough time in that consumer's sort of life, and just to pay it forward, get them sorted out, get them back, get them rehabilitated. And yeah, I think at the end of the day, what we also do by doing that is we enhance the reputation of that debt counseling firm, because, you know, that they are the first port of call, you know. So it is very important for debt counselors to understand from an insurance point of view, although it is only an auxiliary sort of service, it does enhance your reputation if a consumer went under debt review, had a loss, and a claim was paid, you know. So, yeah. No, it is what it is. We like to pride ourselves on a superior claims ethic, which comes down across the group.
CJ, we want to put you on the spot quickly. We've got a magic wand, and I can't remember. Say again.
Hate it when that happens.
We've got this magic wand at one thing, Zach. I'll take that. So we've got this magic wand, and I don't think we gave it to you last time. I can't remember, but the magic wand gives you the power to change something in the industry at an instant, in the dead of the industry. We give you this magic wand, you wave it, and whatever you say will happen, and it'll happen right away. So if you had that opportunity to change one thing in the industry, what would that be?
Oh, Corey, you did put me on the spot there, eh? I've got a magic baseball bat. It's a little bit bigger than a wand. Yeah, Corey, that is a very tough one. I think if I could get the industry to really align and have a proper sort of value system and standards and, you know, the regulators are working together with us and, you know, we understand that the more as a collective we do the right things for the industry, the more our industry will grow, the less we have to purchase leads. So I would say just the culture. I think if we could just change our culture, that will go a long way, because that once the culture is in a good space and we're doing it for the right reasons, that energy will flow into South African consumers. They'll have confidence. Every debt counselor in South Africa will do well. And it'll just create an amazing sort of credit industry, you know, where we can all be held accountable.
Better take that one back from him quickly, Corey. You know, CJ, he could get out of control now. Motorbikes for everyone. You know,
yeah.
House by the coast. Yeah.
Better attitudes. Yeah.
Right. No, but very good. Very good.
Happiness all around, glitter on the faces, all that type of stuff. Yeah.
And I think that goes back to this thought of, as debt counselors and as an industry, we're trying to build trust. When you have a payout like that, there's a claim that's done. It rescues the situation, keeps the person in the process. It builds trust. That's reputational, and that's good for us. So if you're a debt counselor out there that you don't talk to your clients about credit life, please do. They should at least be talking to somebody about it. And if they want to talk to CJ, I'm sure they can Google you, Google one. But thank you very much. And when you get there, come and tell us all about the psychology of money. Some of us on this podcast have pretty weird relationships with money, you know. So maybe you can tell us why that is.
Yeah, I know, Zach. I mean, like I say, it's a work in progress. You know, there's a lot of elements to it that we want to try and understand. And yeah, I think once I'm done, we'll definitely try to get it out there. You know, whether it helps people or whether it doesn't help them, it's irrelevant. I think for me, it's just about. It's about understanding this journey that we are on, you know, and where does money fit into the entire journey? You know, we can sometimes lose ourselves, you know, in this need for materialistic gain, you know, which is sadly sometimes a lot of times just based on ego. And we spend way too much time in the ego and too little time connecting the dots with what is really important. And I suppose as you get older in life and you mature, your value changes. And I think it's important that people find where their value lies. It's definitely not in money. It's a whole lot of other things, you know, that ultimately will bring value to your life.
Yeah, I would totally agree. If you're listening, you have debt problems, you're not defined by your debt. If you're listening and you've got money problems, you're not defined by your money problems either. These things are just incidental to your journey along the way. Thank you, CJ. We really appreciate that.
Well said there, Zach. Very good. Very good. You aren't defined by those things, you know. So, yeah. No, absolute pleasure.
Anyway. CJ, thank you very much for spending some time with these dummies. We really appreciate it. We're looking forward to your psychology of money. I'm looking forward to that, really. And thank you very much for being part of this journey. And just thank you for always being there for us. You know, we really appreciate you, and we really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Thank you for the invite. Thanks, Zach. You're actually doing some outstanding work there. Just keep those standards going. I've checked some of that. Other podcasts, it's very good. Let's keep hustling, eh? We owe it to the people.
Well, you know, we here on the podcast, we're very philosophical, or very philosophical. Philosophical, hey? Hey, correct?
Yeah. philosophical.
Philo pastry.
That one.
That's the one, man.
Philosophical.
Philosophical, but let's go. That's much better. Well, Corey, that was, I mean, great. I can see why you like to hang out and chat with CJ about stuff. It's always entertaining, but also, you know, informative. As you said, positive changes in the industry. There are challenges, absolutely challenges in the industry, maybe self-made challenges, but challenges people are working towards overcoming, I hope, in the near future. And I think if you've listened to this, and you're thinking about dietary, once again, it's good to know that any industry has its challenges, right? That is guaranteed. It doesn't matter what industry we're talking about. If you open your email right now, you probably got 10 offers from banks that are fake loans from different credit providers. Doesn't mean banks don't work. Of course, like the debt review industry, sure, there are challenges. Doesn't mean it doesn't work. Just means you've got to be careful, make the right choices. So what a great episode.
No, I agree, Zach. And I feel that even though the debt review industry does have challenges, there are many people in the industry that want to see it succeed. And quite a few of us, people in the industry, have been in the industry for a very long time. I mean, even like CJ, you and myself, we've been in the industry for a long time. And there's a lot of people that's been guests on the industry, guests on the podcast, that we really want debt review to work, and we're all fighting the good fight. So for any consumer out there that is listening to the podcast, you know, reach out to the people, reach out to the debt counselors, chat to them, find out, ask the questions. So I definitely think our industry is it's going to get stronger. I think it's a lot of people are working towards making it stronger, and we definitely all want to make it work and see it succeed.
Well, I feel a little bit smarter than when we began today. Thank you very much, Corey.
As always, Zach, thank you very much for your time. Thank you to our guests. Thank you to our listeners. And we'll see you on the next episode of Debt Review with Dummies.